Preacher, I sure love you. I always say to the preacher, I love you. I love you. We are to love our preacher, right? And we are to love one another. And the preacher is to love his church. Amen. And so, but I have a question I want to ask you. I ask this question. I've been doing it for about 19 years, 18 years now. And a very important question. And it's one that put the church right in conviction right off the bat. Have you talked to the Father today? Have you talked to God today? And I'm not meaning down in the prayer room necessarily. I'm talking about in your home, on the way to church. Have you talked to Him today? Because a lot of people don't consider not praying a sin. But not praying is a sin. Did you know that? Yes. 1 Samuel 12:23. And Samuel said, if I cease to pray, I have sinned against the Lord. And that's a principle that we need to really get into our hearts. Because prayer is not optional. And by the way, you can't do ministry and you can't be much of a Christian unless you pray. See, we're already under conviction, aren't we? It's very powerful. Very powerful. Because most people in churches pray less than 5 minutes a day. And the average pastor prays less than 12 minutes a day. That's the new statistics. If they pray at all. And I hear preachers often say, Brother Beckham, I don't have a prayer life. And I say, well, you ought to go and drive a truck or go and paint houses and get out of the ministry then, because we need praying men in the pulpit. We need praying men. We need praying people in the pews too. And let me tell you a little bit about myself and my wife. We both have spouses in heaven. My wife died at the age of 49. And Jeanette's husband, Jesse, died at the age of 48 in an accident. The Lord took him home. My wife, the Lord took her home with breast cancer and brain cancer. And so during that time, I thought, I was busy. I was a busy pastor. I was studying all the time. I was out soul winning. I was writing books. I was, I did everything that a pastor should do, and I really mistaken being busy to being spiritual. Just because you're busy, that doesn't mean you're spiritual. You can knock doors until your hands are bloody. But if you don't have a prayer relationship with God, it's vanities of vanities. It's useless. And that's not being preached in America today. And so during her sickness, 2.5 years of sickness, God put me in the school of prayer and in the school of suffering and the school of learning. And I learned a lot of things. And at Diane's grave, I surrendered my life to God. I just said, God, if you open the doors, I'll enter. Don't matter where you open them. I'm not going to be one of these evangelists trying to be in Florida during the winter months and, this kind of... Wherever you open a door, I'll enter. And so God started opening doors. I did 30 meetings that first year. And week-long meetings. I'm not talking about Monday and Tuesday meetings like a lot of churches are doing nowadays. God don't even have time to convict anyone in a Monday and a Tuesday meeting. And so I wouldn't accept a meeting unless they went through Friday night. It had to be Sunday school through Friday night, or I wouldn't go, because the doctrine of prayer is important. Jesus said this place should be the house of prayer. And we have turned it into everything, house of soul winning, house of preaching. And those things are biblical too. But Jesus said, my house should be known as the house of prayer. And that's what this place should be known for. Not only preaching and soul winning and separation and all that stuff, but also prayer. And by the way, let me go ahead and say this and put you under conviction. Prayer is the first thing that should be in your life. Amen. Where do you get that, Brother Beckham? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort thee therefore, brethren, first of all. And someone told me, said, Brother Beckham, that's not significant. Those words are not significant. And I said, what are you saying? If you're saying, if we have a book with insignificant words in it, then we don't have the Bible. Amen. Every word in this book is significant. Amen? Amen. And God wrote it, and God breathed it into existence. And I'm going to say it again. Every word in this book is significant. Amen. And so I preach dogmatically that prayer is the first thing in your life. How did you get saved? Tell me how you got saved. You heard the word, and you did what? Wait a minute. You did what? You wouldn't even be saved today if you had not called on the name of God. And so prayer is very important. You start off with prayer in the relationship with God, and you have to carry that relationship on all through your life, whether God gives you a ministry of a day or 50 years. You have to have that prayer relationship with the Lord. Well, I'm going to show you some things hopefully this week, but I can't guarantee you're going to be alive in the next second. Amen? I can't guarantee that. But if God gives us an hour for Sunday school, I'm going to share some things with you from the Bible. I'm a Bible preacher, teacher, and I don't tell a lot of jokes and that type of thing. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a performer. I'm just an old-fashioned preacher. All right, and I like to lay all that out before the people that I stand in front of every week and let them know, because we have clowns. We have too many clowns in the pulpit today that are entertaining during revival time. We don't need to be entertained. We need to be convicted. We need to get right with God. Amen. And I really ask God to remove those type of men from the pulpit, because we don't need them in the pulpit. We don't need clowns in the pulpit preaching on white shirts and all kinds of stuff. I think it's okay to have a blue shirt. You think, preacher? Yeah, you got one. But back home, they preach against everything. Everything. When I say everything, they preach against everything. Now, I want to mention this track. Jeanette's first husband, Jesse, wrote this track on a shootout. He was a policeman there in L.A., California. And had a great testimony in his church, on the job. And he was in this shootout, and he was asked to write this track. This track is being used all over the country today. We have just Law Enforcement Day. If you ever have a Law Enforcement Day, you can order these and pass them out. Julia, sometimes she'll see see some law men come into a restaurant, and she'll get up, go over to the table, and she'll have it open like this to her daddy's picture, and she'll begin to tell the guy about this track. I've seen tears run down their face. I've seen them kind of hug on her a little bit. But a wonderful, but I think I have some in my suitcase. I'm not sure. But I put out maybe 3 or 4. I'm sorry about that. But we may find some more in a box or in a suitcase somewhere, and I'll have them out tonight if so. Would you turn with me to John chapter 6? And I'm going to share with you some truths about prayer. Now, I'm not a lecturer. I'm not here to lecture on prayer. And I'm not I'm just an old-fashioned Bible preacher, old Baptist, independent Baptist preacher. Amen. But I'm never the same. I told the pastor last night, I might be screaming one night, and I might be having a chair sitting down in the middle of the aisle there talking to you one night. Whatever God leads me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. I don't want to do anything that draws attention to me. I want God to get the glory. I want God to get the praise and everything. After I preach my invitations, sometimes they may last 3-4 hours sometimes, and that might scare you, but I want you to come back tonight, tomorrow night. Sometimes they don't last that long, but a lot of times they do. Sometimes these revivals goes for 6-7 weeks every night. A church in Pennsylvania is in their 19th week. I was there 7 weeks, and now they're in their 19th week in Pennsylvania, and people are getting saved every day and getting baptized on Sunday. But what they realized is they had to get sin out of the camp. They had to turn to God. And this young preacher, 42 years old, he had to learn what I'm going to show you this morning about Philip and Andrew and the little boy and Jesus and God. Those are our characters. And but Brother Shutt there in Pennsylvania, he had to learn that he had to get sin out of his life, out of the church's life, and they had to clean up. And they had to turn the ministry over to God. You can't build a church. You can't build a church. If it's going to get built, God's going to build it. Amen. And so I'm going to show that to you in this simple little story in John chapter 6. If you'll turn there. Preacher, how much time do I have?
Ten till.
Okay. So I have about 25, 27 minutes to do a 4-hour message. Now that's we'll do it. We'll do it. Whatever the pastor tells me to do, if he tells me 25 minutes, I take 22 minutes or 23, because I don't want to be guilty of not following the pastor. Amen. And so we try to stay in that time. If he told me stand on your head and teach this, I would try to, but I could. But I would try. I would try. I'd break my neck, but I would try. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? Look in verse 2 with me. John chapter 6. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And then in verse 5, it talks about a great company, a great multitude. And in another place, it says 5,000 men. And then if they have 5,000 men and they were married and have children, commentaries will tell you that they may have been 15,000 to 20,000 people at this gathering. But we're going to stick with the Bible number 5,000, okay? And 5,000 men, and here they are following the Lord. And in a few moments, I'm going to tell you why. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for Traveling Mercies yesterday. And I thank you for the opportunity to stand this morning to be able to share your heart and my heart. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to this ministry. I want to compliment this pastor. And Lord, I want to be very loving and very caring and very sensitive to the needs of this assembly. And Lord, if I can't, as I have prayed hundreds and thousands of times down through the years, Lord, help me to sit down and be quiet and do nothing and say nothing and allow Pastor to do the preaching and teaching. And Lord, I pray if there's a lost person here this morning, I know the Holy Ghost is going to speak to that person. But Lord, I pray that that one will cry out to you in their free will and be saved today, this morning. Lord, I'm not asking you to just save them any time. I'm asking you to save them this morning. Maybe right now, put them under conviction to the point that they'll call upon you to save them. Use me. I want to be used. So Lord, use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I will say this too. Preaching without application. I hear a lot of evangelists preach down through the years, and I hear a lot of pastors preach, and I don't hear a lot of application anymore. All they do is stand and deliver a sermon. That's useless. That's useless. It's almost like going to a buffet. You go to a buffet and you get your plate, you get your fork, you get your spoon, you get your napkin, and you walk around that buffet and you say, boy, that chicken looks good. That macaroni really looks good. That gravy and rice would really be good mixed together. And those peas, that looks good. Boy, that fried chicken is wonderful. And that steak looks good. And I can walk around for an hour doing that, and it wouldn't do me one bit of good, would it? But if I walk around that buffet and I put that food on that plate, and then after I get it piled up like this, I go to the table and I sit there and I eat every bit of it, and then I digest it, it helps me. Amen? Might hurt my tummy if I eat that much. But anyway, it's good. Same way with the Bible. Same way with church. You come into the church, you sit there, you daydream, your mind's in China somewhere, you talk, you play, and all this stuff. Let me tell you, it's not going to do you a bit of good. Amen. Amen? You don't come to church to talk, you don't come to church to play, you don't come to church. Why do you come to church? You come to church to worship God and to learn. Amen. Well, let's look at our text here. A great company, a great multitude, 5,000 men, here they are coming to meet the Lord. But look what they are coming to meet the Lord for. They are diseased. They have people in this group that are diseased. They have heard that Jesus has healed a lot of people, issue of blood, raised the dead, healed the blind, all kinds of miracles. So they heard it. And they said, hey, Jesus is in town. He's over there in that great multitude of people. Let's run over there and see if he might be able to heal us. Might he be able to do a miracle in our life. And so here they run over there to Jesus because of the miracles that they might have done in their life. Now, I'm going to just go ahead and ask you, why are you serving God? Why are you here? Why do you say you love Him and never talk to Him? And you say, how do you know we don't talk to God? Because you're an average church. You're an average person. And there are people, I guarantee you, in this room that doesn't have a real relationship with the Lord. Look at Jesus' little church. He had 12 in His little church. He had a doubter, he had a cusser, and he had a pure devil. And then he had nine more that couldn't spend 1 hour with him without going to sleep. Wow. Boy, he had a good little church, didn't he? Wow. If you looked at it that way. Well, these people, they said, I got a problem. Jesus can handle it. I'm going to run to Him and see what I can get out of Jesus today. I got cancer in my body. I'm going to run. And you haven't even thought about God until you got cancer. You haven't even thought about God until you're going through that financial woe. And now you want to run to God. That's the character of these people that is in our story. So here they are running to Jesus because of what He could do for them. I run to Jesus for what He can do for me. Because I can do nothing within myself. Jesus said, I can do nothing without the Father. We need to get a hold of that. Young preachers need, and older preachers need to get a hold of that. We can't do one thing without Jesus Christ. Amen? We need the Father. Jesus needed the Father. And then He said one time, I can do nothing without the Father, for He doth the work. He's the one that builds the church. He's the one that saves souls. He's the one that delivers the sermon. He's the one. He's the one. Amen. Isn't that right? Let's continue. And Jesus went up into a mountain. He was always going into these mountains. And you say, well, why was He always going into the mountain? He was going up there to pray. Many times He prayed all night in the mountain. All night. In the mountain. And so here He is going up in the mountain. And then in verse 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And then look in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes, and He saw a great company, and that great multitude, those 5,000 men, coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, our second character, whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? Philip, we got a problem. We got 5,000 men, they are hungry. When are we going to buy some bread that they may eat? Well, look, and Jesus already knew what He was going to do with the situation before He even asked the question. And by the way, He knows what He's going to do with your life too. He knows what He's going to do with whatever you're facing right now. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God knows what He's going to do. And He knows what He's going to do in my life if I get out of the way. I was in the way for many years. I had to get out of the way and let God do what He wanted to do. Amen. Now, it says here, he knew what He was going to do. In what He was asking Philip, it was just to prove Him. For He Himself knew what He would do. Well, look in verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And now, Philip is going to eat his words. Church, listen to me. He's going to eat his words. I have eaten my words. I have eaten many words. I have regretted a lot of things I have said down through the years. I have regretted a lot of actions. Amen? Have you? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Anybody else regret? Okay, all right, okay. Now look, and I believe Philip was kind of cocky here. I think he just said, geez, what in the world are you asking me? We have 200 penny worth, and don't you know that won't buy enough bread for 5,000 men to eat? Don't you know that? Cocky little rascal. Amen? And, well, you know what I would have said? I know me. Preacher, you don't know me. Church don't know me, and I don't know you all, but I'll tell you what I would have done if I was there. I know me. I would have said, Philip, shut your mouth and sit down. I know me. I would have did it with a smile on my face, maybe. Loving, Christian-like, I think. Probably not. Just sit down, Philip, and be quiet. Well, there's another character, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found this little boy, this little lad running around in the crowd. And Andrew was coming and he came up to Jesus, had this little boy. This little boy had a lunch. Now, I've been told by scholars, church scholars, they're not really scholars, they're just people that got opinions, they say Brother Beckham, that wasn't a lunch. That was a supper. That was a dinner. That was a breakfast. I don't care what it was. It was five loaves and two fishes. Amen. We can't go wrong with saying that. Okay? So if you think it's a lunch, that's okay. If you think it was a supper, that's okay. If you think it was a breakfast, that's okay. As long as we agree that it was five loaves and two fishes. Okay? Now, here he is bringing this little boy. This little boy is willing to give everything to God, like I hope everybody in this room will do today. Because we don't have tonight, we don't have assurance that we're going to be here tonight. We have to do it today. We have to have revival. We have to get ready for revival today, this morning, right now. Amen, as we apply this story. And so this lad said, I'll give my lunch to the Lord. I'll give these fishes and these bread. And by the way, I know you've been told that these were big old loaves and these were big wells and all this stuff. I know you've been told that stuff. But let me tell you, I looked it up. These loaves were biscuits. And manner and custom books that I have studied said they were biscuits. That makes the miracle even more of a miracle. Biscuits. And they were not wells. They were sardines. They were about this long. Yeah. Little tiny things. And that's what makes this story so amazing, that Jesus could take five biscuits that he don't even mention in the miracle, and then the two little fishes, and feed 5,000 men. They were filled, the Bible says. But now when Andrew came into the picture and he brought the boy, and Jesus is standing there looking at the little boy, maybe rubbing his head, I don't know. But I was so happy that Andrew came on the scene. I was. Philip, I'm glad you got your mouth shut. Andrew's on the scene. He's going to show you what you should have done. Watching. And then I get all disappointed and I want to bop Andrew on the head. What are you doing? You're as bad as Philip. Let me show what he did. And by the way, Andrew was a Baptist. I think he was an independent Baptist. You said, how do you know that? Because he used the Baptist word. In verse 9, someone tell me what the Baptist word is. I hear it every week of my life. Read verse 9 and tell me the Baptist word. What? But. Yeah, preacher casts his visions in January across this nation, and there's all these people using that. But, pastor, have you considered that that's going to cost us so much money, and we really don't have that much money to do that? But, pastor, you said you want to go soul winning. We have tried that before, and it didn't work, so why try it again? And, pastor, you mentioned that we're going to have prayer meeting, and we're going to really, really, really have a ministry of prayer in our church. But. And they just use that word but all the time. Well, Andrew is using, look what he says. There's a lad here which have five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? What are they among 5,000 men? Jesus, have you looked out there? We have 5,000 people out there. What is five loaves and two small fishes? What is that among so many? Just sit down. Amen. Now I believe this is the way Jesus did it. I believe he walked out there where these two people were at, Philip and Andrew, the little boys looking at them like, I'm just a little boy and I know better than this. Amen? And I believe he did it just like this, in disgust. You two, take these men. See that grass over there? Go over there and sit down. Just go over there and sit down in the grass. Take these men with you. And I believe he does churches that way. I believe he's disgusted with the average church today. Read the seven churches. He was disgusted with them. All but maybe one or two. He was just disgusted with the way they were living. The way they say they love him and never talk to him. And say they love him, but they never share him with others. They say they love him. And you know, he just said, go over there and sit down. Now, I'm very personal. I talk to you as I preach. I walk around a lot and I ask you questions. I apply what I preach. And a lot of people get nervous. The only time people start praying is when they see me walking down this aisle. And they say, Lord Jesus, put him back up there. Don't let him walk back here and ask me anything. But if you love God, you shouldn't mind me asking you anything, right? If you love the Lord, you shouldn't mind me walking back and saying, hey, have you talked to the Father today? Do you love him? What would you have done if you was Philip? What would you have done if you was Andrew? And we apply the Bible. That's the reason why we see revival break loose sometimes, because we apply the Word of God to the church. I'm not here to deliver a sermon. Now look what you say. Well, Brother Beckham, you're the prayer man. Where is prayer at in this chapter? Prayer is everywhere. But I want you to look in verse 10. I quoted it to you, but he said, Jesus said, make the men sit down over there in the grass. Now, I do have a question before we go on. I got about 3 or 4 minutes here. Let me go. Let me just say this. Look in verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Now, how many of you ever heard the great song, the great Southern song, Little is Much When God's in It? Yeah. You ever heard that song? Okay. Now, Andrew and Philip, Andrew had doubt. Andrew was butting everything, and the little boy gave everything. And now Jesus, with the attitude, I can do nothing. I cannot feed these 5,000 people without the Father. So he takes this little lad's lunch and he gives it to God the Father. You see that? Now, this is not some little Sunday school lesson. This is a Bible message from God's throne to you. Amen? You can't look at it as some little Sunday school lesson. This is a message from God to you for your situation in life. And look in verse 12. And when they were filled, oh, Brother Beckham, you really believe that? I do. He said unto his disciples, gather up fragments. Brother Beckham, they weren't but 5 loaves. And now you're wanting us to know. I don't want you to believe it. God wants you to believe it.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't write it. I didn't put it in the Bible. God wrote it. God breathed it into existence. This is something that God did. He did a miracle here. Amen. And so here he is feeding the 5,000. Now here they are gathering up 12 baskets of fragments. What a miracle. And then in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the, what? Someone tell me the Bible word. Miracle. The miracle. Can God still do miracles?
Yes.
Yeah. God can do many miracles. Can God still send revival? Do you want revival? Or do you just want a meeting? If you want a meeting, we can kind of pack up and go on down the road. Amen? Seriously, I'm not here to have a meeting. I am so tired of meetings. I want to see real revival break loose. Amen? And I'll tell you about a real revival that God allowed me to be a part of just in February. And it's still going on today. But I'm going to tell you what they had to do. And it's the same thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to just sit down. You're going to have to do what Philip and Andrew. You're going to just have to sit down and allow God to talk to you. And then whatever He shows you, you're going to have to be honest and get it out of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for John 6 again. And Lord, I pray that I can just be honest with these dear brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to be honest with You. Please let us be honest with You and help us not to quench Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.